Can you see it?
Yeah. Whoa. All right. Oh. What's that? You got my keys? I don't think so. Looks like Uncle Larry pulled a fast one on little Dexy. Those are baby keys for little baby. So have fun playing with your baby keys, little baby monkey. Maybe tomorrow night I'll bring you a little baby diaper so you can go poo-poo with it. Then I'll change it for you. And then I'll give you a little tickle because you're a cute little baby. Well, you cry all night long about how Uncle Larry fooled you, huh?
Mm. Is that what Paul's doing here? Yeah. All right, enough of that. Enough of that. Is that what Paul's doing here? Calling the little babies, got to change your little diapers? Maybe a little bit. But I think more than anything else that he's really upset and he's trying so hard to keep his cool. He's trying so hard not to get angry. And he's just doing the best he can. Saying, I want to treat you guys like mature believers, but you're not. Anyway. Who are these people? Who are the fleshy people? This is wild, guys. Paul assumes that they are believers. He says, brothers and sisters in Christ, I wanted to talk to you like this. So it's not like they're the pagans from down the street. He's talking to brothers and sisters, and he says at the end of verse 1 that you are in Christ. He says that. Wow. And he says they can't eat solid food. They can only drink milk. Only drink milk. What is that all about? What do you guys think that is? What's milk? What's solid food? What are the Corinthians lacking to eat real food? I think if I could define milk for you just really quickly without taking the time to really study, I would quickly just say that it's teaching that's designed by God. It's good. Milk is good. Milk's not bad. Milk is good. But it's that teaching from God that gets a proud sinner to submit their lives to the Lord. It's the gospel. It's the truths of the Word of God. A believer who has their esophagus kind of constricted and tight, swollen, they can't take on the meat and solid food. They could only handle some milk at the first, right? And as the milk gets in, the goal is that they grow up and can do that. And here on Sunday mornings here at Two Rivers, for the most part, not this morning, but for the most part, we're pretty much giving milk out because it's we need, with the kind of people that we're trying to reach out to and where some of you, where you're at, we need to be careful not to stuff some roast beef down your gullet. We have to be careful to make sure you understand the truths of the gospel, right? And we want to do a balance of it all, but the milk is important. Where do we get our meat from? Where do we get the solid food? Primarily, number one, where it should happen is your personal time with the Lord, your quiet time with. You need to study the Word of God for yourself, and be taught by the Lord. You need to be in a home group where we study the Word and we ask the hard questions and we talk through things. It can be meaty sometimes, or in some kind of special Bible study. But you need to be a student. So if you're at all challenged by this, is do all I do is drink spiritual milk? Maybe. Maybe the challenge is for you to think about what solid food might be for you. Here's a great example of what solid food is. Down below, you see chapter 2, verse 10. What is the meat? The Spirit searches out everything and shows us the depths of God. His deep secrets. Now that sounds meaty to me. I don't know about you. How about Romans 11:33? This is the only other time where the word depths and wisdom comes together. Paul does it again. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He's shouting out just our worship. He's just praising the Lord. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. That third person, that carnal person, is fleshly. They have a new nature, but they're still living in the old. When Paul looks at them like little children, it's not just a slam, but it's just describing their spiritual maturity. Now, Paul would never make fun of somebody who is a brand new believer. Some of you here have been a believer less than a year. And you're kind of, you'd call yourself a newbie at this, right? And someone who's brand new in the faith, would we ever make fun of them because they don't know the deep truths of God? Of course we wouldn't. We'd be excited for anything that they would learn and to watch the growing that's going on. That's what we get excited about, right? I think what Paul is angry at or maybe making fun of is that person that's been in the church or been a believer for years and years and years, and still they just haven't changed a bit. They're still exactly the same that they were 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. They haven't changed a bit. It's like someone still in diapers, an adult. And that's not really funny. Well, kind of. It's kind of funny. but it's an adult in diapers is more sad than anything else. This is what he says. Paul says to the Corinthian believers, says, I wasn't able to address you as mature. I gave you milk instead of solid food. You're still worldly. Aren't you just acting like mere men? He's challenging those who have been in Christ for a long time, but still have baby attire and still can only drink the milk. All right? Get it? Do you get who Paul's talking to? You get who that third person is, that carnal person? He doesn't flat out say that they're pagans because he knows that only God can judge those things. But Paul is concerned, maybe even angry. He's worried about this church. He's worried about this church because they're full of young believers. Are they moving forward, growing, maturing, or are they going backwards? And as a pastor of another young church full of young believers, I have the same concern. I care deeply that whether or not we're growing, that we see people really taking steps forward. It frustrates me to no end when I see someone just kind of spinning their wheels, not really go anywhere, making mistake after mistake, seeing that cycle of mistakes going over and over and over. Nothing ever changes. I want to hit my head on the wall. Why don't you guys get it? Why don't you grow? You know, that it gets frustrating sometimes. It gets very sad sometimes. And if anything is coming out of today, you hear Paul's challenge. I hope you hear my challenge as well. Like, we've got to keep growing up. Wherever you're at in that pathway of spiritual growth, come on, keep walking forward. Keep swimming. Don't just float. Keep flowing. Don't get stagnant. Keep it real. Keep it tight. Keep your relationship with the Lord so close that people can't help but see Jesus in you. If you'll allow me just a second to share one example of what I'm concerned about here with some of our people here at the church. It's going to get real personal. I'm not really trying hard not to slam, but this is an example, I think, of carnal, of worldly or fleshly. It's someone who's spiritually mature is really careful about who they listen to. Someone who's spiritually mature is very careful about who they trust as a preacher or a teacher or who they listen to. But a lot of people, we've got all this Christian stuff out there, and we just listen to anybody and everybody, and we pay no attention to what's their life really like. What is this person? And some of us are really drawn to those preachers who are just got that thing about them. Or men or women, and they just, you know, they got that loud voice and that excitement about them. We're so drawn to them. But sometimes we wonder, you know, I just question sometimes, do we really know who they are? Can we really trust these people? And I think a spiritual person is able to discern who's right on with Scripture and who's not. Sometimes some of us who are pretty new at it, we're like this buoy in the waves going, whoa, ooh, that sounds good over here. Oh, that sounds better over here. Ooh, neato, cool, fun, you know. But we are not able to get a real depth about it. Example, there's a very famous pastor that was here in Portland. And he was on that national Christian TV channel. And he had a crowd, let me tell you. Thousands of people. He had one of the largest churches in Portland. Powerful, persuasive words when he spoke. But a few years ago, he just up and left. He just up and left without any warning, without telling anybody. He just left. And he didn't just leave. He left with over $1 million in his pocket of God's money. Maybe it had his name on there somewhere, so it wasn't illegal, but it was God's money. People gave to that church. He said, this is my money for my new ministry. And he took all the money and just left town, moved somewhere to the Midwest and started over again. Now, this guy, this just happened a few years ago. He didn't only just steal the money, but he left thousands of people kind of high and dry. And these people trusted him. They were dependent upon him. And their spirituality was almost based on him. And when he left, this church just went bleh, nothing. It's just, it's gone, not gone, but it's just a shadow of what it was before. And what makes me mad and scared is I wonder how many people just gave up on the faith after that because they were so shallow. They didn't have a lot of depth to them. They were so dependent on this person's spirituality. It's easy to be persuaded and tricked by other people. And there's a lot of people out there in God's name, in Jesus' name, who are really after your money or after just someone to fill the seats. And you got to be careful. Not just pastors, but people that you trust, you consider a spiritual leader. And a true sign of spiritual maturity for me is when you aren't taken in by that. And here's the questions you need to ask. You need to have discernment. You have to look for the spiritual fruit in these people. You need to know these people well enough to know if there's spiritual fruit in their lives. You need to know these people well enough to know, how's their family life? What would the kids or the wife say? Or if they were single, what would their friends say about this person? How do they manage their finances? But Rob, they pray so well. But Rob, you don't understand. She just seems so convincing. I want to follow her. Or he moves me emotionally. It may be true, but that's not how God defines a godly leader. And we have to be careful. I'm not saying that it's about me. And I'm not saying I'm the only one you can trust. I'm not going down that road at all, okay? I hope you don't feel that way. I'm not a perfect leader by any means. But hopefully you know me well enough, most of you, some of you, you know me well enough to know that I'm not doing this for the money, not doing this for the fame. Believe me, I think I could be in a church where I could get a little bit more money and maybe a little bit more acknowledgement. But I don't want to. I don't want to. This is where God wants me. I'm not here. I'm not doing this to try to trick you. And God is blessing me. God is blessing us. And you talk to Bonnie, you talk to the kids, and they'll tell you I'm not even close to perfect. But they will also tell you that for the most part, God is blessing us, even through hard times. God is blessing us. And there is spiritual fruit in our lives and in our ministry. And you can trust that. You can trust that God is here. God is working here. Be careful who you trust. Not just the fancy preachers and all that, but even people that you might consider a spiritual mentor or a coach. Be careful. Be careful. They might just take you down because they have no depth to them themselves. A fleshly person, a carnal person, is often a person who is taken away like the bird who takes the seed away in the parable of the sower. We have to be careful of that. All right. That's one example of that fleshly person. And I don't know why God wanted me to share that person. There's so many other things we could have talked about as well. But I hope maybe that helps some of you think through how careful you need to be. All right? Finally, okay, let's close up. Which one are you? Of the three people, which one are you? Those of you who aren't Christ followers here, you tend to look at some people in the church and you criticize them, and you say, look, they're no better than us. They're just like the world. What's the big difference? They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, from this passage, you can see that God didn't make us all perfect yet. And he gave us just the spiritual oars so that we could do the rowing and build up. We have not arrived. And if you look for anything in us, believers, look for the little changes. Look for the ways that we're growing. Look to see if God's spirit is somewhere in us. And that's how we know someone's spiritual and not carnal. And then also, unbeliever, take hope, because this passage, you're maybe wondering, like, I can never give my life to Christ because I got so much stuff. I have so many failures in my past. I got so much baggage. There's no way God would love me. Well, look at this. Look what we've been reading. God loves all those people. And he says he'll take your baggage and all. In fact, just take your baggage and leave it at the cross and let him give you that brand new life. Let him change you. Take hope from this passage, right? Jesus will never break a bruised reed, he says. He'll never quench a wick that's smoldering. You can come to Christ right now. You can start a new life with the Holy Spirit giving you power to live that new life. And finally, for that fleshly, carnal believer, wow, what a challenge for us all. How many of us have accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, but we continue to live our lives as if we're unspiritual? Isn't it time to take off the diapers, get potty trained, spiritually speaking? What are you doing right now to grow up spiritually? What are you doing? Find someone who is obviously a spiritual person, not perfect, but forgiven. Ask them to help you grow. Join a home group. Get involved in a Bible study. Do something to start growing in your faith. Get reconnected. Don't just go through the motions. Because Paul is saying, that's what the Lord is saying to us. Why can't you move on? Why can't you grow? All I can do is give you milk? No, I don't want to give you milk. I want you to learn great things of me. I want you to experience me like you've never experienced before. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. All of us. Let's continue growing. The natural person, the spiritual person, the carnal person. Which one are you? Which one do you want to be? It's up to you. It's up to you with God's help. Can we pray about that? Let's stand together real quick. Father, I feel the conviction of your Spirit on me to change some things. And I know your Spirit's here, and you're speaking to each person right where they're at. And this general prayer, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us and you would show us how we need to get right with you. For those who have never really given their lives to you, they're in rebellion, they're running away from you. Maybe today, Lord, they would finally make sense. They would realize how much they need a Savior. Help them, Lord. Those of us who are spiritual, we want to grow deeper and closer to you. And those of us, Lord, who are in that middle, that fleshly carnal, we're a little bit spiritual, we're a little bit natural. Oh, Father, help us to grow up. Help us to choose you and not the world. Help us to die to ourselves and live for you. We want to see your smile. And we want to please you as our Father. We want to live for you completely. So show us ways that something that we need to give up to rebuild that relationship with you. Show us ways that we need to connect into people's lives or into ministry so that we can grow up. We need you so desperately, Lord. Take the incredibly convicting, strong words of Paul, and would you please just shower them with grace and your love, and let us know how much you really love us. And that you will never let go, but you want us to change. You want us to become like Jesus. And we need that. So thank you so much, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Go be the church.